You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's up, donkeys? Happy Monday. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 in the DMV. In Richmond, you can check us out on 910 The Fan and 105.1 on the FM dial. And of course, we are streaming live on the Odyssey app. Take us on the go wherever you may be. You can also watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Jason doesn't like to watch us live. He gave me the thumbs up because I changed the channel.
It's too distracting. Yeah, I can't do it.
But we invite you to watch us on the Monumental Sports Network.
Everyone else too, just not me.
Do.
Brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit cropmetcalf.com and you can join their team today. We thank you for tuning in this Monday, March 11th, 2024. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Pickle.
Good morning.
Morning. Johnny Cake Sawville's here.
Daylight savings time, just crushing your guy over here. Just pwning me. Just stealing my soul, actually.
Jason Bishop's here as well.
John Paul Flame.
I think it's a fantastic thing. You have daylight now until 7 p.m. now, Cakes.
We all like that.
It's just short term.
Just rough adjusting.
Like, yeah, oh, trust me.
Yeah, it's not great.
Ask me what time I got back from the fights to Parkland, Florida. So my buddy Eric, I stayed at Eric and Sophie Spritz's house, really nice house in Parkland, Florida. The fights for UFC 299 in Miami, Florida. Ask me what time I got home
to their place.
I'm going to just guess
this would be on Saturday. And let me preface this by saying I had an Uber at 6 a.m. to get to the airport to fly home.
Those fights always start with the lateness. So like I'm going to guess like the prelims didn't even start till like 9:30 or 10 p.m.
No, prelims start at 6.
Oh, 6. Okay.
But I didn't get there until 9:30.
So hold on. So, and you had a flight at what, 8?
8:15.
So you had a Uber. All right, I'm going to guess 3:15.
I would think later. You got back to your friend's place at 5:15.
Oh, that's deep. 4 a.m.
Okay.
4 a.m. because the fights ended about 1:30 a.m. And then the clock flipped a half hour later, all of a sudden it was 2:30. So the fights essentially ended at 2:30. By the time you walk to the parking garage, get to the car, get out of the traffic, get out of the city, and then get back to Parkland, Florida, 4 a.m. Yeah.
Sounds like a nightmare.
That's why I tell Mar, I mean, for one, I don't want to pay $80 every week for these fights. But the other thing is they end so late. It's like, I'm out.
They end late, but it's awesome. I mean, to me, I've now been to 3 or 4 UFC pay-per-views. We went years ago. I think Dana White gave us tickets at one point. We also had a buddy, had a bachelor party. We saw like Chuck Liddell. That's how long ago.
That's how long ago
we went to the fights.
You guys went to UFC when dinosaurs were roaming the earth.
But last night, the big news, of course, was the Academy Awards.
That's correct.
And Oppenheimer, I think, won a bunch of Academy Awards. Our pal Kevin McCarthy covers it for Fox 5, joins us right now.
He probably
Kevin.
Hasn't even gone to sleep yet.
Is this a big day for
weirdo.
Him?
Oh, he loves it.
Is this your big day? Is this your Super Bowl, buddy?
Good morning, my Ricks. Oh, it's 100% my Super Bowl. Christopher Nolan finally has an Oscar. I do want to mention, are mentioning UFC. I interviewed Jake Gyllenhaal over the weekend. I know I talked to you guys on Friday. I know you guys are doing a Roadhouse screening for listeners. I think it's at noon. What's the date again?
Next week.
Next Wednesday.
Wednesday.
20th, I believe, is the date.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. And so I was talking to Gyllenhaal about this, and I know you guys have seen this footage. So they filmed part of the film at UFC 285, and I guess I was talking to him about it because they did it the same way Bradley Cooper did A Star Is Born. So for people who don't remember, for A Star Is Born, when he would go out on stage and he would sing as his character from A Star Is Born, he would jump out onto real stages in the middle of other people's sets to get real crowd reactions. So, like, weirdly enough, I think one of the shows he ended up doing, Kris Kristofferson was playing next or had just played, who was obviously in the one of the original Starsborns. And so Cooper got on stage in between one of those sets and just played. So similar to that, Gyllenhaal did that for UFC.
Did Sylvester Stallone kind of start this for Rocky Balboa? Because I believe he did something similar during a fight card for Rocky Balboa, which was the sixth installment of the Rocky series, where he went out with Antonio Tarver and did that bit so that they could have real crowd shots.
Yeah, and I remember you interviewed him for that. He came to D.C., I remember that, JP. So what's interesting about the way they did it for this one was they Gyllenhaal was telling me they had a seven-minute window, and they had three plans based on how – everything was based on how long the fights went, how long the cards went, because they had to find a little window for Gyllenhaal to jump in this ring and film a fake fight. And I guess the audience had to somehow believe it. So weird. They had cameras set up. It's a really cool thing. So for anybody who's interested in this new Roadhouse movie, the logistics of how they shot a fake fight at an actual UFC event in the Octagon with Bruce Buffer and everything, it's awesome. So
very cool. All right, so let's talk Academy Awards. You loved Oppenheimer. You just said great for Christopher Nolan.
They were the overwhelming favorite to win.
Yeah, I mean, it was a huge night. I mean, like, listen, I've said this before on the show. Christopher Nolan's my favorite filmmaker of all time. It used to be Tarantino. But in my lifetime, just to see a filmmaker like that and kind of what they're able to do and the idea of bringing people to theaters the way they have. I mean, again, I've said this before, and this is a different hour of the show, so I'm assuming different people listening. But, like, at the end of the day, for a three-hour R-rated historical drama shot partially in black and white to make nearly $1 billion at the box office. And then for, like, Eric, you said your son went and saw it multiple times. I think you said you saw it a couple times.
I didn't say my son saw it multiple times.
My son saw it twice in the theaters.
I guess Cakes' son. Yeah. He's mixing it up.
I saw it once.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, either way, that younger audiences went and saw that movie and they loved it. And so, yeah, I remember Cakes, you said your son saw it multiple times. But yeah, so it was a huge deal for that to win Best Picture last night. Chris Nolan never won an Oscar in terms of directing and, you know, for a picture. I mean, it was just crazy. Now, I don't know if you guys saw the end of the show, but Al Pacino was the one who basically introduced the Best Picture. And it was the most anticlimactic thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, the dude came out. He didn't even read the nominations.
How old does he look?
He's not even that old. I think he's like, what? Is he 80 something?
Is he in the 80s? Well, okay, that's pretty old.
But. I mean, like, he's not like, I know. But he's not like, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't even know that I consider 80 super old anymore. My grandmother's 98.
He's 83.
Who, De Niro?
No, Pacino.
Oh, Pacino did it. Oh, okay.
Yeah, Pacino did it. And so it was just so awkward because, like, this was the biggest award of the night. And all he did was he opened the envelope and goes, oh, I see Oppenheimer. That's literally what he said. It was so – and I don't know. Listen, I don't know. I don't know if maybe he was just tired. I don't know.
Here's part of it.
He's 83.
Sometimes 83-year-olds,
he's got no energy.
They can act erratically, especially when it's late.
But here's the thing, though. Like, there are tons of, like filmmakers. I think – I want to say, like, there's a lot of filmmakers who are in their 80s. I don't know. It doesn't matter. This is not an age discussion. I've just seen Al Pacino in current time not, you know, being completely fine with talking and doing what he was doing in terms of the movies and interviews he was doing, like, for Irishman and all those things a couple years ago.
Maybe he's tired. Doesn't he have a baby? Didn't he just have a kid with a young woman? Like, maybe the kid's keeping him up at night.
Honestly, that might be it. Maybe he just hasn't been sleeping because of his new baby. that probably is it. But anyway, so it was just a weird moment because, like, it was the biggest award of the night, and you assume there's going to be a little bit of, like, you know, build up and tension, and, like, you read the nominees, and then you cut to the cameras of all the people waiting to see who's going to win. There was none of that. He just walked out, said it, and then that was the whole. It didn't even feel like it was, like, real.
I did think it was cool how they, now I didn't make it all the way to Best Actor, but I saw when they did, like, Best Supporting for both men and women, they had, like, five previous winners come out and do a little bit about each of the nominees. I thought that was a nice touch.
Yeah, that was a cool touch. My only problem with that was it felt awkward at times. What Cakes is referring to is for the four major acting categories, previous winners from the past came out and spoke about the nominees. And then the question I kept having was, do these actors really know each other that well? Like, in the sense of, like, if Sam Rockwell is introducing Robert Downey Jr.'s Oscar, like, I think they know each other because they worked in Iron Man 3 together. Yeah. But some of the pairings, I was like,
funny in particular because Downey came up and I think he dapped up Rockwell and he acknowledged one of the other guys that was on the stage. And then I think he gave, like, Mahershala Ali, I think he just gave him the Heisman.
Oh, really?
And then he went and started talking to the crowd. Like,
was that? Oh, no. The Heisman in that moment was that was Ke Huy Quan. Because Ke Huy Quan had just won the Oscar last year for Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Right.
He was the one, and he was handing the Oscar to Downey, and Downey just took it and didn't even, like, shake his hand. Yeah,
it was funny. It just made me laugh.
You start to wonder, though, in a moment like that, are you even aware of what you're doing?
Right. That's true. That's a good point.
I mean, you get up on that stage. That's another thing is, like, you know, with Pacino, it's like, he came out there. Some people were just saying it was like, that's just how Pacino is. He just doesn't care.
Right.
He just walks out and just.
He gives zero F's at this point.
Right.
Doesn't care.
All right. So, real quick, give me a rundown. So, who won Best Supporting Actor and Best Supporting Actress and what movies?
Yeah. So obviously, I said picture went to Oppenheimer, director went to Oppenheimer, actor went to Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer. This was obviously a big win. I mentioned on Friday that the big debate between actor was going to be Cillian Murphy or Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers. And obviously Cillian ended up winning last night, which is incredible. I mean, this is one of the best actors working today. Peaky Blinders, everything he's done, he's just amazing. The big surprise of the night really was Lily Gladstone losing the Oscar to Emma Stone. I think a lot of people, I'm included in one of those. I thought that Lily Gladstone was going to win the Oscar. She won the SAG Award. The SAG Awards is the big Oscar, the big voting branch of the Oscars, and that seemed to make sense to me. But Emma Stone now has her second Oscar, which is incredible. Also, a crazy statistic, and I think I have this right, Billie Eilish, I think, is 22. She now has two Oscars.
Wow.
So she won her song for No Time to Die.
Cakes loved it.
No. The one she did from Barbie, I thought was the most boring song I've ever heard.
Okay, I got to disagree. So,
Valdez? I don't even know the song.
It's a great song. Eric, you're not going to know it, even if you heard it. So for people, what I was trying to say was Billie Eilish won an Oscar a few years ago for No Time to Die, the Bond film. Great film. Her and her brother Phineas are like two of the best artists working today. And then they won again last night for their Barbie song, which was remarkable. But I will say, I think the entire show was upstaged by Ryan Gosling. I was talking to a buddy of mine about this. This was one of the greatest Oscar moments I have ever seen.
Why?
Like, you guys have
to.
What did he
do?
You just sang a song.
He sang a song.
I don't know how to explain it, but you have to put it on. Like, the dude. See, that's why I liked Barbie's, because he fully committed to the role of Ken. And whatever you want to say about Barbie, whatever you want to say about the movie or whatever, but the performance, I actually loved the movie Barbie. I thought it was fantastic. But the performance was absolutely legendary. Just Google his performance last night at the Oscars. I think every single person in that room was shocked.
What made it legendary? Because you weren't expecting him to have a good voice, or he sings. I mean, he dances. What does he do that's so legendary?
Oh, voice sounded amazing. The dancing was amazing. I think the brilliant part of it, and I don't know if any of you guys have seen Barbie, but I think the tone of Barbie is that it doesn't take itself seriously, but it does at the exact same time. So Gosling, I think, is one of those dry, funny guys who's just like extremely in the middle of that tone where it's like he's on the verge of making fun of himself, but he's also on the verge of emotionally thinking that this is a real thing. And I think that's kind of what makes him so funny. Did you ever see a movie called The Nice Guys with Gosling and Russell Crowe?
No.
You guys should see that.
I did see that.
great comedy. So anyways, real quick on a couple other big moments of the night. Supporting actor went to Robert Downey Jr. Supporting actress went to Davine and Joy Randolph. There were some really passionate speeches last night. I was very happy with just kind of the pacing of the show. I thought Kimmel crushed. I will say this, and I'm surprised he did this, but the beginning of the show, there is a joke that he makes about Robert Downey Jr. that I just thought was extremely old. It didn't need to be made, and he stayed on it way too long, and it made it – there was like a good 2 or 3 minutes of just completely uncomfortable feeling of watching Downey take – like you know, try and brush this joke off. Oh. And, you know, people who know Robert Downey Jr.'s history, I mean, obviously he had – a lot of history in the past with, you know, a lot of things that were happening in his life and drugs and things like that. I mean, those are just alleged things, but obviously there's just a lot of things that did happen to him in his career. And then he bounced back and Iron Man obviously changed everything for him. But it was just weird for Kimmel to bring that back up on the night he's winning the Oscar. And it was kind of like, he says some joke about like Robert Downey Jr. has never been higher in his life than now, and then he puts his finger on his nose or something, and it was just, you know, it's not really that funny anymore. I don't know. I just kind of wanted Downey to have his night and, you know, win the Oscar and not have to deal with, you know, stuff like that, but
what on his name
it, so that actually made you uncomfortable.
It's okay if that's the biggest adversity RDJ is facing, and I think he's gonna be all right.
Well, I just think, and I'm not sitting here trying to say like, you know, oh, poor Robert Downey Jr. It was just like one of those things where like, if you know, people have things in their past, and it's like, why does that one thing need to come up? I don't know. It's just weird.
What was his reaction when he said it?
Oh, he looked
pissed?
visibly angry.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Like,
okay.
Yeah. Look up Kimmel or Robert Downey Jr. Now, Robert is such a like. He's such a professional that like you can see his mind working in as, cause the camera's right on him as the joke's being done. And it just didn't feel, it felt inappropriate.
So I don't know how you could jock Kimmel when you said like for 2-3 minutes, he just, you know, did that. I mean, there's a lot of people saying that was very awkward and uncomfortable and.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Is that the word
outside
today?
Of that moment, he everything else. I thought he was great. Like there's. Did you guys see the John Cena thing?
I saw a clip.
Negative.
Yes, he looks
sexy.
Very
uncomfortable on the air.
Yeah,
dude, this was. I cannot believe how they pulled this off. No pun intended. Like this is one of the most insane bits I've ever seen on the Oscars. So for people who don't know what we're referring to, John Cena is like standing behind like a wall, and Kimmel comes out and presents this joke about the idea of why don't we, you know, there was a streaker at the Oscars years ago, and they played this clip of a guy who ran out on stage mm-hmm. naked during one of the presentations. And they were like, well, you know, we're not going to have anybody streak here tonight. And then they cut to like Cena behind this wall, and you can tell he's like, not, he's naked. And all of a sudden, I don't know how they did this. Cena just starts to walk out on stage completely naked. But, like, you got to look at the video because he's wearing some device or some contraption that makes it look like he's holding an envelope over his area. But it's so perfectly placed and so extremely, like, close that it's almost uncomfortable. And so I saw a backstage photo of how they did it. I guess it was like the envelope he was holding was not real, of course, and then it was tied to some like nude color underwear that he was wearing. It was really weird. But I still can't believe they got away with it on TV because he was basically naked. It was wild. But yeah, there was some funny Kimmel bits. I think the Downey Jr. joke was not funny. But other than that, again, I'm still a little like personally upset that Oppenheimer didn't get that like tension-filled Best Picture moment because Pacino just read it real quickly. But other than that, it was.
So let me ask you just, real quick: was Bradley Cooper up for that role?
Okay, picture this: it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
As a composer,
Maestro.
Whatever. Maestro, yeah.
Yeah.
So he didn't win again?
No, Cooper. I think that was Cooper's ninth Oscar nomination.
Wow.
And I think that, I mean, he didn't win. I mean, and that was the whole thing. I mean, the other thing that was crazy last night, and this is just me being nerdy. This would be like, I don't know. Like in football, if the greatest quarterback of all time was giving an award to the next greatest quarterback of all time. It was like Spielberg giving Nolan his best director Oscar last night. And like thinking to myself, like this guy grew up watching Spielberg movies and then Spielberg hands him his first Oscar. Just wild.
That had to get you so funny.
Kevin, we got to run. Get your NFL tracker ready. The tampering period has begun for NFL free agency.
Here comes the signings, baby.
I am all sights.
Right.
Butt sights for J.J. McCarthy and Penix Jr. Let's get all silly.
That's the draft. That's not free agency. That's the draft.
Thank you, Kevin.
Okay. Still baby
steps. That's what happens when you're into Barbie and the NFL.
It's impossible to be in both.
He only has so much bandwidth he can dedicate.
All right, got to take a break. We will fill you in on some of the quarterback movement and signings and more throughout the show as the legal tampering period for NFL free agency has begun. You want to give us a call? You can always reach us on the MGM National Harbor listener lines at 800-636-1067. Same number for the Thompson Creek Windows text machine. Standard message and data charges may apply. You can always tweet us at Junks Radio. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.